And here's why I say that. In the book of John, Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Do you realize tonight that everyone here in this tent that can hear the sound of my voice, if any one of you tonight is not saved, that the only way you can be saved tonight is if the Spirit of the living God would come down and settle upon your heart and bring a conviction and draw you to Jesus Christ. And that's what we pray for. That would happen tonight. I'd like you to notice something interesting as I studied that verse. That word draw, it's a Greek word, helko. You can look it up in your Strong's Concordance. It literally means, Brother Mose, to drag. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me drag him. There's only one definition in the Strong's, to drag. You see, in reality, the Spirit of the living God tonight is trying to drag you to Jesus. I'll give you one usage of that word. If you remember in John chapter 21, Jesus was sitting on the shore and He was preparing a meal for the disciples. And Peter was coming to the shore, and the Bible says he had a multitude of fishes. And it says that he was dragging them to the shore. That's the word helko. Dragging them to the shore. And that's what the Spirit of God needs to do to us. Drag us to Jesus. You see, the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We are running from God from the womb. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. Do you realize as sinners, we are running from God. And apart from the convicting work of the Spirit of God, we would have no chance of salvation. Consider that tonight. This is the natural reaction of all sinful mankind, to run from God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, there is none that seeketh after God. If man was left to his own estate, man would never seek after God. Do you realize if there was no convicting work of the Spirit of God, there would not be a single one of you saved tonight? Because man will never seek God on his own. And Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." We praise God tonight for the sweet convicting presence of the Holy Ghost. We are truly saved by the grace of God. But let me also say and warn you this evening, God's Spirit will not always seek to drag you to Jesus. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." And there may be some here that's sitting tonight, and the Spirit of God is striving upon your heart. I'd like you to know tonight that the Bible says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man to try to drag him to Jesus." Many of you know Aaron Burr, the man who was convicted of treason by the United States. Aaron Burr tells his granddaughter tells an interesting story. One day his granddaughter was at a meeting, maybe it was much like this, and she was converted to Jesus. And she came home and she came to her grandfather, Aaron Burr, and she said to him, "Grandpa, wouldn't you like to be saved and become a Christian?" And Aaron Burr looked down at her and he said to her, "Sweetheart, many years ago I was sitting in a revival meeting and I felt the Spirit of God striving against my heart. And after that meeting I went outside the building and I looked up to heaven and I said, 'God,' and I meant it with all my heart, 'if you will leave me alone, God, I will leave you alone.'" And Aaron Burr said this to his granddaughter, "Sweetheart, I kept my part of the deal, and God has kept His." Do you ever wonder why the Lord Jesus looked at the Pharisees who had just blasphemed the Spirit of God Do you ever wonder why the Lord Jesus looked at them and said, "Men, you don't know what you're doing, because he that shall blaspheme the Holy Ghost has never forgiveness." Do you realize what Jesus was saying to them? He was saying to them, your only chance of salvation is the Holy Spirit and His conviction and His dragging you to me. You are cutting off the only lifeline that you have to salvation. And oh, we need to be careful with the sweet Spirit of the living God. And that goes for us as Christians too, doesn't it? Striving against our Maker. After Stephen preached the sermon in Acts chapter 7, he looked upon those who were striving against God and he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." And I wonder if there's anyone here tonight who we could say, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." How long does the Holy Ghost have to strive with you? How long does the Holy Ghost have to try to drag you to Jesus? Don't resist the Holy Ghost tonight. If you feel the Holy Spirit tonight convicting your heart, don't strive against Him. Break your heart underneath it. Underneath the load, break your heart. And so we see that every one of us tonight are sinners. Every one of us are on our way to eternal damnation. And every one of us, and many of us even here tonight, maybe God's Spirit is striving with you to bring you to Jesus Christ. And you sit here tonight and you say, "Yes, Brother Jerry, I feel the conviction of the Spirit of God upon my heart. I feel it right now. What must I do to be saved?" Well, in order to understand salvation crystal clear, we must understand repentance. The first thing I would say to you who are under conviction tonight, the first thing you ought to do is repent. Repent. And do you know tonight that the Spirit of God works repentance? The Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. The Spirit of God comes to your heart and begins to weigh down your heart and to tell you that you're a sinner, that you're on your way to hell, and you begin to have godly sorrow. And that godly sorrow turns you to repentance. And that repentance turns you to salvation. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish." Peter in his second epistle said, The Lord is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Consider with me tonight, and this is a teaching that really needs to be taught. And I think some of the brethren who were here this afternoon, as they stood up and shared, I think from their hearts, their desire was, yes, we need to know what is true biblical repentance. Look, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. I'd like to share with you tonight, what do you really need to do to be saved? You sit here tonight and you realize you're a sinner. You realize you're on your way to eternal destruction. You realize that the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. How do I repent? Let's look at Luke 15, starting in verse number 10. Again, this is the words of the Lord Jesus. "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And notice our context. Jesus is talking about sinners repenting. And then he moves to a beautiful story. And many of you know this story. The story of the prodigal son. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country." That's you and I. In our sinful state, we want to get as far away from God as we can. "And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he was come to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I would like you to see tonight that there are three things here in this story that Jesus teaches us regarding true biblical repentance. The first one can be found in verse number 16. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I want you to notice here, first of all, that repentance that is true and genuine makes a man or woman willing to forsake his or her sin. You see, this man that Jesus was talking about, this prodigal son, he was willing to say, I need to get up and get out of this mess that I'm in. And I need to go back to my Heavenly Father. He was willing, first of all, to give up his sin. John the Baptist came preaching the gospel of repentance. And do you know what he said? He said to the tax collector, You want to repent? Stop taking more from people than that which is right. If you want to repent, he looked at the soldiers and said, Men, if you want to repent, stop doing violence to any man and be content with your wages. He looked at the rich man and said, If you want to repent, go and take those two coats that you have and sell them and give them to the poor, or sell one. I wonder if John the Baptist could come to our closets and say, If you and I want to repent, maybe you ought to take one or two of those dresses and sell them. Maybe you ought to take those two coats that you have and give one to the poor. But that is true repentance. Repentance produces a willingness to forsake sin. When Jesus was on the road to Jericho one day, he stopped and there was a man up in a tree. The man's name was Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus wanted to repent. And do you remember the response that Zacchaeus gave to the Lord Jesus? He said this, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold. Here was a man whose heart was willing to forsake his sin. I ask you tonight, are you willing to forsake your sin? Secondly, I would like you to see in verse number 18, the second thing that establishes true repentance is this, a willingness to confess. And Brother Mose mentioned this yesterday, a willingness to confess. Coming and showing your deeds and confessing your sin before God. Second Timothy 5:24 says this, Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before unto judgment, and some men they follow after. We have a choice tonight to make. There are some men in this tent and some women whose sins have already gone to heaven. They've gone before them. But there are still men and women and maybe children in this tent tonight whose sins are still with you, and they will follow you to judgment. Confess your sins to God now. Send them on ahead of you, lest you die and the weight of your sin sinks you into the sides of hell. Confess your sins and let them go before you into judgment. Are you willing tonight to confess your sin to God and to men? That is the second requirement. This prodigal son, he left the pig's pen. He was willing to forsake his sin. And he came and he confessed his sin to God. Thirdly, and perhaps this is where we make our mistake, he had a willingness to serve. He had a willingness to serve. Look at verse number 19. Here this dear man comes to his father and says these words, "And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Do you know how I can tell when a man is truly repenting? When a man is truly under the conviction of the Spirit of God? When a man is ready to be born again? The Bible says he will come. He will be willing to confess his sin. He will be willing to forsake his sin. And he will come with a heart that says, "Lord Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. I don't want my way anymore. Lord Jesus, make me a servant. Make me a servant." You see, true repentance produces a broken heart and a willingness to serve. Our society and the church is becoming so perverted about this concept of repentance, even going so far as to claim that you can be saved without a willingness to be a servant of Christ. But listen to the words of Malachi this evening. "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth him and him that serveth him not." There was a time when a rich man came to Jesus and asked for eternal life. Jesus said, "Go and sell all that you have and come and be my servant. Follow me." But the rich man didn't have a repentant heart. And the Bible says the rich man went away sorrowful. He turned to his disciples. And Peter looked up to him and said, "Lord, we have forsaken all to follow thee." I would ask you tonight, have you and I truly repented? Have you truly repented? Was there a time in your life when you realized you were a sinner? When you realized you were under the judgment of God on your way to hell? You felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Did you come to the Lord Jesus and confess your sin? Did you come to the Lord Jesus and forsake your sin? And did you come to the Lord Jesus and say, "Lord, I want to be your servant"? That is true biblical repentance. And you are following the steps of the example that Jesus gave of the prodigal son. I wonder where your heart is tonight on that subject. Have you truly repented? Jesus said, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." From my background, people are coming by the thousands. They are coming down aisles. They are kneeling at an altar. They are being told that if they pray and ask Jesus to come into their heart, that's all they need to do. And they get up from that altar and they go back to their seat, and they're just as much lost and even more lost than when they got up and came down to the altar. Because the Lord Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Have you truly repented? True repentance consists of a willingness to forsake sin, a willingness to confess, and a willingness to serve Jesus. I ask you again this evening, consider that with me. Have you truly repented? If you've not, Jesus would say, if you haven't repented, you shall perish. If God grants you repentance tonight, you will do these very things. Finally, in order to understand salvation crystal clear, we must understand belief. Jesus came into the land of Judea preaching the gospel of repentance and belief. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. And tonight, if you sit here and you realize that you're a sinner, you realize you're on your way to hell, and the conviction of the Spirit of God is upon your heart, and you're willing to repent, you're willing to do those three things, The Lord Jesus asks you to come and believe. Come believing. Come believing. I've got good news for you tonight if you're sitting in your chair and you're under the conviction of the Spirit of God. I've got good news for you. It's called the Gospel. There was a man by the name of Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh. He came to the earth. Men, wicked men, put Him upon a cross. And you and I are the wicked men. Put Him upon a cross. There He bled and died. He suffered. They took Him down from the cross and they buried Him in a grave. And 3 days and three nights later, He rose from the grave. And tonight He is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and He's looking at every one of us tonight. And He is waiting for anyone who is willing to come to Jesus with a repentant heart. Believing. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10. These are some of my favorite verses because about 18 years ago I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. Starting in verse number 9 of Romans chapter 10, I'd like you to read along with me, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All those are wonderful verses to me. When I was 19 years old, I was working at a golf course. And I was given the responsibility of closing down the shop. And one night, July 15th, 1978, I was closing down the shop at Pebble Creek Golf Course in Lexington, Ohio. And for some reason, praise be to God, for some reason my heart was so weighed down with the conviction of the Spirit of God. I really felt like if I would have died that night, I would have split hell wide open. And when I closed the golf shop that night, just before closing the golf shop that night, for the first time in my life, and I had worked there for many, many months, but for the first time I saw that there was a track rack on the wall. And I went over that night, praise be to God, and I picked up a track, and I read about the wonderful news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how the Lord Jesus wanted for me to repent, and to believe on Him, and to call upon His name for salvation. And I was excited, because I believed it. And I remember closing up the shop that night and hurriedly going to my car, a 1977 Buick Regal red with a white Landau top. And I began to drive away from that golf course, and I began to pray, and I began to cry. And I prayed, and I cried. And in about 5 or 10 minutes, I can testify to you tonight that the Lord Jesus saved my soul. And I knew I was a child of God. And do you realize tonight that if you sit here and you understand that you're a sinner, and you understand that you're on your way to eternal judgment, and you understand that the convicting power of the Spirit of God is working in your heart, and you understand that you need to repent and to confess your sin and to forsake your sin and to come here tonight and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be Your servant. Do you understand tonight that if you come down this aisle and believe the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and call upon the Lord Jesus, you can be saved tonight in this tent? Let me give you an illustration. Perhaps you can imagine for a moment that you were in debt for $25 million. You were very anxious and concerned because if the debt was not paid, the people who you owed it to were going to end your life. Even now, they're in the progress of hunting you down. You're on the run. A friend contacts you by phone and tells you some wonderful news. A very wealthy man has heard of your dilemma and has volunteered to pay off your entire debt. The documents for proof of payment are in the mail. Now let me ask you a question. If you believe your friend, what do you do? Glory! Don't you do that?
Yes.
Glory to God! I'm free! But I would believe what the friend said. Amen. I have wonderful news for you this evening, friend, sinner friend. I'm here to tell you a very, very wealthy and compassionate man has paid off your debt of sin. His name is Jesus, and I also have the proof of payment. The document is right here in my hand. Ananias looked down upon the Apostle Paul when he was Saul, after he was smitten on the road to Damascus, and he said, "Saul, stand upon my feet, arise and be baptized, and call upon the name of the Lord, washing away thy sins." Do you realize tonight, friend, that if you came here, came down this aisle to this altar, under the conviction of the Spirit of God, and you were willing to repent, do you realize tonight that if you believe the gospel and you called out to Jesus who is sitting on the right hand of God even now, that the Lord Jesus would save your soul if you believed Him? Will you come tonight and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord? There has been no more soul-searching question asked than what Pilate said unto the multitudes, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And you have a choice tonight. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What you do with the Lord Jesus tonight will depend, will determine where you are in a million years. What you do with the Lord Jesus tonight. What you do with God's Son tonight will determine your eternal destiny and your eternal inheritance. I love this story. I love to tell it. You've heard it before, but I'll tell it again. An aged man, a very wealthy man, had amassed a tremendous collection of expensive art. And this man had one son. And sometime during this young son's life, this aged man decided to have his son's portrait painted, which he did. And shortly after having the portrait of the son painted, this son died unexpectedly. And it crushed the aged man's heart. And shortly after the death of his son, this aged man also died himself. But before he died, he made out a will. And in that will he said, "I would like to have all my art collection that I have amassed over these many years, the many millions of dollars worth of art, I'd like to have it sold at an auction after my death." And so they had an auction one day. And this vast collection was gathered together. And many people from all over the world came to look at this wonderful collection of art and to take part in this auction. And the auctioneer stood up before everyone and he said, "Listen, there are two stipulations in the auction that was laid out by this gentleman who passed away. The first stipulation is this. The first painting to go up for auction is the painting of this man's son." And so they brought the painting of this man's son up, and the auctioneer began the bidding. And all across the crowd, there wasn't a single bid. And the auctioneer waited and waited and waited. Finally, a Negro man who knew the son and who loved the son reached down in his pocket and he pulled out 3/4. And he raised them up in the air and he said, "I'll give 75 cents for the picture of the son." And the auctioneer looked around and he waited a few more minutes. There was silence. Everyone else was out looking at the other portraits. And finally the auctioneer said, "Sold! 75 cents. And then to shock everyone, the auctioneer stood up and said, "The sale is over." Right, brother? Because the second stipulation in this man's will was, this, that whoever purchases the portrait of my beloved son receives everything else for free. And you realize that Negro man went away that day a very wealthy man because he loved the son. And I say this to you tonight, if you love the Lord Jesus, and you're willing to come down and purchase the Lord Jesus, calling upon the Lord Jesus tonight, you can have everything. The Bible says if we're in Christ, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ and heirs of God. What do you think tonight of Jesus? If you get Jesus, you get everything. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? If you want to know tonight the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? Here it is. Accept the fact you're a sinner. Accept the fact you're heading for eternal judgment. Don't resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit when He calls. Be willing to leave your sin. Be willing to confess your sin. Be willing to follow Jesus. Then come, believing the gospel, calling upon the name of the Lord. You can come tonight. The promise is open. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says this, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And they always used to tell me, that includes me, and that includes you. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we trust, Lord, if it be Thy will, that as the Word of God was shared here tonight, Lord, in the opening message and also in this message, that the Holy Spirit of God is at work in our hearts. Lord, woe be unto us if the Spirit of God is not at work in our hearts. And Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight. We are most gracious, we are most thankful that You have not left us in our sin, that You have not left us undone. And there are many here tonight who can rejoice in the reality of salvation. And they have a real answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? But Heavenly Father, we realize tonight that there may be some who are here who've never been born again, who've never been saved, who've never repented, who've never come to Jesus believing, washing away their sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And Heavenly Father, in all of our weakness tonight, we ask You in Jesus' name to convict the sinner. Even as they sit in their seat tonight, Lord, would You convict the sinner? Show them their eternal destiny, Lord. Show them their need. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that Your will be done tonight. And may no one go from this place tonight, Lord, unsaved, resisting the Holy Spirit of God. We ask Your blessings now, Father, on our evening. And Lord, if You see fit to bless us tonight, we ask You to move and direct in our service and our invitation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, do we have an invitation song tonight? Perhaps we can stand to our feet and sing "Just As I Am," without one plea, but that my Lord died for me. Tonight, if you don't know that you're saved, if you're not born again, I would encourage you to come to Jesus while you have opportunity. If the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, wherever you're at, and I know tonight's message is only directed to those who are unconverted, lost, and God only knows tonight how many of those are here. But we pray that the will of God would be done. So you come and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord.
As I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
voice tonight.
It just
Why will you strive against the Lord Jesus? Why strive against the Spirit of God? Fountains are open. Come to Jesus. Father, we do trust that your will is being done tonight. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Heavenly Father, is it true tonight that all of us are on our way to heaven? Lord, I pray tonight, God, would you speak to the heart of that man, woman, or child who's lost. Holy Spirit, please prick them, quicken them, wake them up, Lord, of their danger. Father, we beseech you and beg you in Jesus' name, save souls tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's sing one more verse. This is the last opportunity to come to Jesus and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord.
As I am, I will.
I feel impressed of the Lord to say this isn't right. There are many souls here that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. Don't let the devil win this battle. Bow your heads right now. Don't let the devil win this battle. Are you sure you want to turn away this opportunity tonight? Are you sure? Come to Jesus. We'll just pause a little longer. Come to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you, sister. Someone else. God's waiting for some more. I know it. I know it. You've resisted too long. How can you resist the invitation like that to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you come? Maybe you're out at the outskirts of the tent, even on the outside. Come. Anyone else before we close? God bless you, young men. Christians, pray. Drive the devil's powers back, that you wouldn't hold these people from salvation. Anyone else? Amen. God bless you, sister. Hallelujah. Some more. Some more. Is God trying to drag you through the conviction power of the Holy Spirit? Don't dig your heels in. Don't dig your heels in. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't struggle. Don't kick against God's loving, tender mercies to give you a message like that, an opportunity like that, and spurn the day of grace. Anyone else before we close? God bless you. All right, God bless all of you. We certainly commend you into the hands of the Lord, but may it be a sobering thing. My, how many people would love to hear a message like that? I wonder what would happen if a message like that would be preached in South Dakota, where they've never heard the gospel, ever. The young people, many of them. Or Russia. Other places. My, we just don't realize what we hear.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.